With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Volume.
Jenkins and Jones is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to make every moment more than with FanDuel. Lots of great reasons to bet on FanDuel Sportsbook. They have great odds and markets for the MLB, NBA, NHL, PGA Tour, and so much more. They have awesome new and existing user promotions. It's America's number one sportsbook. It's easy to use, it's safe and secure, and you get your winnings fast. It's also fun to combine multiple bets from the same game into a same game parlay and discover the most popular SGPs each day right when you log in. If you're new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started now. Sign up with promo code JANJ, that's J-A-N-D-J, so they know we sent you. Disclaimer, must be 21 and over and present in select states only. Gambling problem, 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342.
Welcome to Jenkins and Jones Are Out of Pocket. We got the finals to talk about. It's been a crazy night. The whole gang is here. We've got Josiah Johnson, the legend. We got Zach. We've got Dragonfly Jones, a.k.a. Ty Lula, Jethro Jenkins, a.k.a. John. I am Guardy B, a.k.a. Mike. And first of all, before we get started talking about basketball, happy anniversary to Mom and Dad. John and his wife are fresh off their anniversary dinner at Cheesecake Factory.
Gourmet.
Real nigga dinner. You feel
that
me?
That is true love. You take your boo to Cheesecake Factory, that means that you are in true love.
She showed up. She said, I'm glad we can do shit like this instead of that boozy ass shit. I said, this is why I married you.
Hell yeah.
This is why I married you. We over here miso salmon, you feel me?
Ooh. I love it.
You know, hella heavy whiskey, you know what I'm saying, and shit. You feel me? I love it.
I've been to Cheesecake Factory probably like 3,000 times, and I will still go through every page of that menu just to see if it's something new on there that I haven't
seen
yet.
Damn right,
man. I'm not going to order it, but I just want to see.
People weird on some too many choices. Why you mad at options, motherfucker? Weird.
Josiah gave me the best career advice I ever got. I was broke as fuck, couldn't afford anything on the menu, and I was sitting there. But Josiah, I had a meeting with him at a Cheesecake Factory like 7 years ago.
That sounds like a party.
It was very helpful.
The Cheesecake Factory used to be my hamburger handler for the Entourage fans out there. Anybody who was going through any issues, let's meet at Cheesecake. There's tons of options. Yeah. Get you a little strawberry lemonade. Nothing to complain about.
Get you some of that brown bread. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. What was his advice?
Just bread, bread in the business. You know what I'm saying? Come on now.
What was his advice, Zach? Just eat the bread?
I'm not going to share it. You know, it was
I had a lot of shit. Legit, I think we met at Cheesecake, too, to be real.
We met off of Fairfax. It was a chill spot, though. You should have met Cheesecake.
No, Mike, it was like a long time ago. He and I were both like, I just left the NFL and had no idea what I was doing with my life. And That man helped me through a very dark time.
I am going to lie. I didn't know what the fuck I was doing either. But I said, hey, he believed me, so I'm going to say whatever fucking makes sense.
Yeah.
I gave way better advice than fucking when I didn't have it figured out, too. I totally understand that. All right, let's talk about finals game two, the Warriors, the revenge of the Warriors. What'd you guys think of the game? Don't roll your eyes at me, Jonathan.
I hate everybody. I hate everything in this finals except for Jason Tatum. I hate the fans. I hate the Warriors and the Celtics. Everything's trash.
Is that the same guy? Wait, is that the player that was minus 36 tonight?
Horrible last time, too, bro.
It wasn't his fault, bro. I mean, he had like
a trillion turnovers. I mean, part of it was his fault, bro. They're sloppy with the ball, but go ahead.
He also led the team. He led their team in scoring. He was relatively efficient on the scoring end. I don't know. I don't blame him.
Did anything about this game surprise any of you guys? I think we all expected the Warriors to bounce back. They haven't lost two games in a row all playoffs. Was there anything about this game that jumped out to you that you weren't expecting?
Not really.
Draymond Green to finish it. I mean, shit. God damn. I've never seen a human being talk more reckless and wild to referees in my life and not get in trouble for it. But I appreciate it. Again, okay, that's black privilege, so I can't be mad at the man. Give us free.
On the Draymond front, I saw that in the Mavs series where he was saying wild shit in one of the games. One of the games, he was just teeing off on the officials, and he had already gotten a tech. And I was kind of waiting for that second one to come. And I don't know if he knows that they're not going to throw him out, so they don't have to end up in the record books and deal with all that. But he got away. He got away with quite a bit.
They gave him an early tech,
which is actually the worst thing they could do. Because as soon as he got that first tech, he knew I can do whatever I want for the rest of the game, and they're not going to give me the second one.
Exactly. Yeah. He's like, oh, a tech? Really? Go ahead and give me a second one. Do it.
Tyler, you're extra focused on the game tonight. Did anything surprise you or jump out at you?
No, it seemed like the standard fucking 2016, 2017, 2018 fucking third quarter. You know, it's not a game anymore, a Warriors game. But to Draymond's credit, last game he said, you know, we'll live with Derek White and you know, Marcus Smart and Al Horford beating us because they're not going to do that again, right? He said basketball is all about picking your poison, and they'll take that, you know, every fucking time. And people getting on his ass about that, like, you know, hating ass, old ass nigga, y'all in trouble for real. But nah, he was dead ass right about that, because I think they had like 16 points total between those three this game. Like, White had 12. Horford had 2.
Horford and Smart combined for 4 points, and White had 12.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, the man knows what the fuck he was talking about, so.
I think, you know, Smart generally will get you like 15. He's good for a good 15. He didn't do it tonight, but. So, I don't think Horford obviously played like outside of himself the first game. I didn't think he was going to drop down to 2. Goddamn! And Jaylen Brown didn't play that well tonight either. So
I'm curious to talk about the Draymond thing just for another second. I'm curious for your guys' opinions after the game. You know, all the reporters are asking about the press conference. You're obviously officiated differently. You're getting away with stuff with one tech that you wouldn't get away with otherwise. You know, that other people couldn't get away with. And I think Draymond might have put the hex on himself a little bit, because his answer to that question was like, you know, I've earned the right to be officiated differently, et cetera, et cetera. And as I was listening to his answer, I was like, you're not supposed to acknowledge publicly that they're officiated. That's part of the game, is that you don't you pretend that it's just a coincidence that they're not giving you the second technical foul. So that almost made me think, like, I wonder if in Boston, the refs just decided, like, okay, we're going to make a statement. We're going to do it early in the series in game 3, so we don't have a he's missing game 7 situation or something like that. But I don't know. Yeah. Do you think that could change, or do you think it's just the refs are never going to want themselves to be part of the story? They're never going to give him the second technical foul.
Yeah, I don't think he's ever going to get that second. I don't want him to get ejected either. You know what I'm saying? Because, for one, if the Warriors do lose this shit, I want him to lose fair and square. I don't want to hear any motherfucking crying. We saw in 2016 motherfuckers cry about that ejection, like Bronny fucking 41 burger him up when he came right back. So, yeah, I don't want any fucking excuses. I want Draymond to play the whole game. And like I said, I don't mind the little dust up, because the Celtics are giving it right back to him. Right? Like Jaylen was throwing the elbows back. You know, Grant Williams was smacking the arm off him too and shit. So let them boys have those little dust ups. It ain't hurting nobody.
Imagine a human being that's averaged like 8 points per game in their career talking about they could get officiated. I just, Again, God is great. I love to see black privilege. God, he will. Well, I'm just saying, you know, like, imagine saying that in a press conference after you drop like 9-5. Like, yeah, dog, I earned the right to just do whatever I feel like.
The triple single.
I'm out here leading the league of triple singles.
Walking right into the Hall of Fame with them 9 points, yeah. Too. You feel me? Like,
Jaylen Brown did say that Draymond tried to pull his shorts down during the game today.
He yeah, did.
Draymond shit.
I mean, is anybody surprised by that? I'd almost be surprised if he didn't do some weirdo shit like that. You know what I mean?
Here's my thing with the Celtics fans complaining about Draymond. It's like, you have Marcus Smart. Like, this is not some uneven fight.
Marcus Smart flops. He's not this pulling shit. People's pants down.
No, but Marcus Smart will. But Marcus Smart does lots of, like, in the grill crazy shit, bro. He was doing it today.
Names one weirdo thing he's done.
He's never tried to kick somebody in there.
Okay, but Draymond's kicking and punching niggas in their dicks.
He dyed his hair green. What are we talking about?
He's pulling draws down. You feel me? Like, bro, that's some particular that's some Draymond shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but
Marcus Smart is annoying. Here you go. He's annoying.
First Google. Marcus Smart ejected for punching Matt Bonner in the dick.
Wow. So he punches dicks too. But Draymond punched the goat.
We ain't got to Google Draymond.
Draymond punched goat dick. Okay? Draymond punched goat dick.
Draymond was just doing it under a brighter light, you know? Punching Matt Bonner on a Tuesday night in January. No one's going to know about that.
You're punching that dick for the love of the game.
For the love of the dick punch. You know what I mean? Draymond had to punch Bron in the dick. He was about to get that man 40. You know what I'm saying? You punching Bonner. What did he do to you? But exists.
For the love of the game.
That's a retired prize fighter walking into a bar in Siberia. And just I just need to hit something. Like, I just need it.
I'm punching Bonner dick. I'm about to punch a Bonner dick tonight.
I think we've mentioned some names that'll be up for this, but Chuck's got it on his list. Most disappointing player in game 2. Who do you got?
We
got
to go Mr. Platanos, Al Horford, just 26 point performance. But I know it was Cook. Maritza, I know it was Cook. When they try to throw this man a lob, and it's like, wait a minute. I'm going to tell they're going to lose. They try to throw him a lob on the break, and he just came right back down with the earthbound, tried to that's the same shit I would do at 30, 40 years old.
That's not his fault.
Don't throw me no goddamn lob. What y'all think?
Why didn't throw that man a lob? That's a problem.
But he's still averaging 14 points a game in the finals. That's how I always used to look at things, the brighter side. Hey, we could bind those two. It's 28 points total. I didn't say how I was going to do it.
I think we're fucking measuring Al Horford on an adjusted scale now. Because, you know, this is probably the Al Horford we expected before he fucking started spazzing the last couple rounds. You know what I mean? I mean, I'll say, like, Klay Thompson's been a huge disappointment, but, you know, luckily, Jordan Poole has been picking up the slack like a motherfucker, but Klay's been stinking it up, bro.
What was that tweet? What was the tweet about Jordan Poole?
We'll get to the Jordan Poole tweet.
To Tyler's point, like, you know, Klay, just the legs don't look like they have the lift. The defense isn't where it once was. And, you know, when we were outside the Warrior Stadium, we were asking fans, you can only keep one, Poole, Wiggins, or Klay. Who are you keeping? Who are you getting rid of, rather? And they're like, get rid of Wiggins. And it's like, you want to keep this dynasty going, the smart move is not to get rid of Wiggins. And I'm telling you, it's not to get rid of Jordan Poole.
That's an interesting question.
I love Klay to death. I don't know if it's the headband slowing him down. Headband Klay just ain't the same.
I do think we talked in our finals preview about, you know, everyone's looking at this as the Warriors offense versus the Celtics defense. But in my opinion, the reason I picked the Warriors is that the Warriors defense was the third rated defense in the league this year. And the Celtics offense, I have much less confidence in. Although, obviously, if they just continue to shoot 50% from three, it's going to go great. But this is a game tonight where they still shot 40% from three up until the point where the game stopped being competitive. But they shot like 28% from two. And I thought the way the Warriors switched their defense up, the way they were not allowing Al Horford to be a distributor in the paint, and you could just see how frustrated he was, and it led to him just completely not looking to score. I think they deserve a lot of credit for the defensive adjustments they made, and I'm very excited for Game 3, which is going to be both a chess match and an absolute brawl, I think. But do you think the Warriors can keep out-adjusting the Celtics defensively? Like, it does feel like the Celtics game plan hinges on we'll still be able to just not miss threes for a quarter. of every game. So I don't know. Do you think the Warriors are going to be able to keep out adjusting him?
Yeah. Is that the Warriors? You know what I mean? I mean, that's all I have to lean back on. Like you know, these Celtics are a new commodity, and it's a new fucking squad with Ime. So, you know, this is the most that we're seeing of them in the postseason run. But, yeah, I do think that the Warriors are going to be able to adjust. But to the Celtics' credit, they haven't lost two games back-to-back this whole postseason. Like, they're a team that makes, you know, great adjustments, too. So, you know, going back home, they got the split they wanted, so we'll see.
Felt like a must-win for the Warriors because you go to Boston down 0-2, that shit's basically a wrap. I don't care if you win one there, it still doesn't feel good. But, you know, it was interesting. We had Nick Young in the other day. We asked him who his the best coaches he ever had, who he ever played for, and he didn't mention Steve Kerr. I don't know if it was just like he was tired and kind of forgot. I think Steve Kerr is a great coach and has the ability to adjust. It'll be interesting because I think we're due for a good Clay game. Steph's putting him in. He wants the MVP trophy. So I don't know how much they need to adjust. If Clay goes off or Poole goes off, this is an even bigger.
Do you guys think Clay's gonna? What do you guys think we're gonna get from Clay? Do you think we're gonna get a Clay game, or do you think he's just it's not there in his legs and it's just not happening this year? What do you think?
He's due for one, right? I mean, I'm just saying, like, you know, Clay and Wiggins both had 11 points in this game. One of them is gonna you know at least play good in the next couple of games. That's your point with Steve Kerr. I've never seen Steve Kerr take a pack of mid and make it exceptional, right? I think what Ime Udoka has done in this first season, they were 23 and 24 at one point, to now be in the finals is remarkable. Obviously, he's got a talented squad. But, you know, when Kerr has a great team, he's going to get them to the highest level. But it's not like he's just overperforming with a bunch of mid out there. When they're mid, they're mid. And when they're excelling like this, they're excelling. But I think when you look at this Warrior squad, they just got so many dudes who can hit. And the odds of them all not hitting on every, you know, you might get that one game out of seven, but it's not going to happen for a whole series. Steph obviously got the finals MVP right now in his pocket. I think win or lose, you know, if we want to go that side. But ultimately, yeah, between Clay or Wiggins, one of them is going to have a good game. Even if Wiggins get back to that 20-point level, and it's like, how do you stop that? Ime and Nia Long better get them Tulum, Cancun reservations ready. I will say this, if I'm a Celtic and my head coach is out there pulling Nia Long, I'm going to run through a wall for him because I already know he's got a solid mouthpiece and he's got the game.
I think Kerr is the Steph of coaches. But like, he's great with a great team, right? Mm. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, Steph is great on a great team. On a bad team, you know, he wasn't the best, you know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
I think like, you know, with the experience and stuff like that, I think they'll just figure it out. You know what I mean? Like, the same reason we thought they'd win it is the same reason. We know they'll make the adjustments that are necessary because they've done it before. So,
So did you see, so game one, obviously the Warriors had that huge third quarter, but then they lost the fourth quarter 40-16. Did you see the reports that Ime basically like pulled out a oak casket aged vintage bottle of toxic masculinity for his speech before the fourth quarter? There.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, you guys are playing like bitches. He said, he didn't say they're trained. He said, they're punking you. Like, you should be embarrassed.
Hey,
like, you know, we can progress as much as we want societally, but if a man that you respect looks you in your eyes and says, they're fucking, they're punking you.
One time.
That's just turned to, one time does that not still turn you all the way up to 11?
One time at ASU, we had a bad home losing streak. So coach gets us all together, right? All the coaches, managers, players. And he makes us all sign the floor, okay? And then he gives this speech, and he's like, this is your home, okay? You can't let people come into your home and jerk your brother around. That's your brother. Only you can jerk your brother. And I watched a huddle full of 25 grown men trying not to laugh as this man's yelling, only you can jerk your brother. And I was like, Herb, what is wrong with you? So God bless Coach Sendek.
Yeah, you know, it either works or it really doesn't work, right? When you go the toxic masculinity. Yeah,
we lost a lot of games that year.
A lot of brothers got jerked.
Only you can jerk your brother?
Yes. Yes.
Did he not understand what the kids were thinking? What fucking 21-year-olds were thinking when you say, only you can jerk your brother?
Yeah. I'm standing there and Dedrick Taylor, who's now the coach at Fullerton, is holding my shirt and standing behind me trying to hide how hard he's laughing from his own head coach.
That's incredible. All right. I do want to nominate to the all-time pantheon of tweets about players, which includes the guy who said that Giannis hoops like a street shark. And the person who said that...
that is a class.
That might be the best. That came out of left field, and it made so much sense.
I don't want to mess the players up. What's the Chris Middleton one?
Well, Paul George is the LeBron James of Chris Middleton's.
Yeah.
Or was it Chris Middleton? Yeah,
but then Chris Middleton balled out, and we were like, hold up, Chris Middleton might be the LeBron James of Paul George.
That should make a lot of sense.
At He's Still Cold has an entry into the player description pantheon. He said, Jordan Poole hoop like it's nothing but bad bitches watching.
That's good or bad sometimes, though.
It is.
You know what I mean? Like, you can see shit. You know what I mean? You know, it can go either way, like you said, Joe.
It can turn left on you very quickly.
Bro, when he hit that motherfucker from one step over half court in that triple team trap, did you see the glowing look of approval that Steph had on him when he walked through? Like, he was like, this motherfucker just like me. Like, you don't see Steph looking at motherfuckers like
that. Devil. Yeah. He got that same devil in him. You know what I'm saying?
There was a little bit of other basketball news that broke today. Pretty big story. Quinn Snyder I'm trying to remember what the stupid phrasing on the press release was. It was like a Quinn Snyder consciously uncouples from the Utah Jazz or something. It was like Quinn Snyder ends his tenure with the Utah Jazz or something. It was like he quit because he doesn't like living in fucking Utah. He's been doing it for 8 years. He's fucking over it.
Yeah.
What was your guys' reaction to this news? You think he's going to San Antonio to be the heir apparent? What do we think is going on here? You just get sick of being in Utah? What do you think?
Nostradamus. I think his nostrils thank him. I'm sure it's hard to get what he's looking for in that particular city. I could see him, you know, becoming assistant coach on the Heat. That would be a great location for him. Orlando, I mean, somewhere just kind of, you know, in that Colombian pipeline.
Utah is known for having a great snow culture, but not the type that Quinn Snyder is looking for. That's what you're saying.
They were like, if you come here, you can go skiing. He was like, I didn't mean that kind. Sorry, Mr. Snyder, but you beat us in the tournament, and I've never forgiven you for it.
Yeah, I was about to say, there's some personal beef there, for sure.
0-2, fucking San Jose. But in Quinn's defense, I will say this. We played Mizzou, I think 0-2 San Jose, Sweet 16. And I'll never forget this, and I always had the utmost respect for him. He literally started cussing Kareem Rush out because he wouldn't shoot. He was like, motherfucker, if you don't shoot, I'm going to take you out the game. I was like, I've never heard a coach ever say that. And I was like, God, I would love to play for this dude. So in Quinn's defense, I don't know if he's still like that. Obviously, we've heard other rumors. You have to keep your boo away from all that good stuff. But back in those days, I was like, yo, this is a dude I could definitely play for.
I mean, going to San Antonio makes a little sense. I think there's not many vacancies left. I'm curious who Utah is going to get because ostensibly they have good pieces, but I think they're in blow it up mode now. So, like, sure going to be interesting where Donovan Mitchell lands. Sure going to be interesting where Rudy Gobert lands. And
Gobert!
You know.
Gobert!
Joe, you put Rudy, that in Rudy my Gobert. Brain so much, calling him Rudy
Gobert.
We don't
Gobert, respect but... your country, homie, so we're going to pronounce your name how we feel like it.
That's me with Bajelica. I told John and Tyler, I'm going to call him Bajelica forever. He's European. It's not racist for me to pronounce his name incorrectly on purpose for the rest of my life. I'm never calling him anything but Bajelica.
Bajelica! Bajelica Houston!
But yeah, I mean, the thing about the Quinn Snyder shit is like, okay, we all know that there's going to be a major overhaul there somehow, some way. Like, was he not on board with the shit they want to do, or did he just not want any parts of it? You know what I mean? Like, were they thinking about shipping Donovan out and he wasn't on board with it? And he's like, nah, if that's what y'all are doing, I'm out. Or did he just not want any parts of the rebuild? I mean, I would understand either part. And you see Donovan Mitchell, you know, released the statement, I am distraught over what this means for me. Like, that motherfucker was out too. You know what I'm saying? Like, he sees his out now. And now he's, you know, playing the scenes. You know, like he's telling motherfuckers, come get him, please. You know what I'm saying? So we'll see, man.
Gets the tweet off, goes right back to Zillow that's got all of his tabs open for new houses and apartments in New York City. Like, yeah, there's no way. Yeah.
The downfall and sell-off of the Utah Jazz is, for me, like the first choking noise that Joffrey made in Game of Thrones. It's just like, yes, yes, I've been waiting for this. I needed it so bad.
Jesus Christ.
So great.
Our non-basketball topic for the night is actually a snow roach update to outdo all other snow roach updates.
From Mayonnaise the monkey update. This is
Okay, have you guys heard of the sport of cheese rolling?
Oh yeah.
Okay, in Gloucester, in England, there is a big Jubilee cheese rolling festival every year where they go to the top of the biggest hill in town, and it's a big fucking hill. And they take a block of cheese. It's 3.5 kilograms, which is like 7.5 pounds. They roll it down the hill, and all of the men go chasing after the cheese, and whoever gets it wins the cheese. That's what they get. Very frequently, people dislocate hips, like nasty injuries. It's part of the cheese rolling competition. So this cheese rolling contest came back for the first time since COVID. We made it. The culture is still alive. Cheese rolling survived COVID-19. So that the video went viral. A bunch of guys went to the hospital. Someone fractured part of his spine. You know, the usual kind of stuff that happens when you're trying to run down a steep hill as fast as you can. But I dug a little deeper because I wanted to know who won the first cheese rolling contest since COVID. And what I found out, gentlemen, will shock and astound you. The winner today is a guy named Chris Anderson, who is 35 years old and won the cheese rolling chase for the 23rd time.
I thought it was Birdman.
I saw you doing the bird.
Chris Anderson, he finished second at 17, and he's basically won everything ever since. He's a LeBron James of cheese rolling in Gloucester. He grew up across the street from this hill, probably dreaming of throwing himself face first down the hill after a block of cheese. And let me tell you this fact about Chris Anderson, because we've been talking about the love of the game. The cheese they roll is called double Gloucester cheese. And Chris Anderson does not like double Gloucester cheese. He only eats cheddar cheese. So after throwing himself down the hill, he auctions the cheese off and donates the money to charity.
Yeah, good.
A slow guy. He has, over the last 18 years, he has dislocated both shoulders, broken an ankle, gotten several concussions, torn his calf muscle, and bruised both kidneys.
What is his trick?
His trick, if you watch, and
I
went down the rabbit hole on cheese rolling. His trick is that he runs, and as soon as he starts losing momentum, what everyone else does is they kind of flail around, and that's how they get hurt. He just tucks himself and somersaults and then like stands up and like keeps his momentum going. Because what I thought his strategy was, which is what I would do, would be just wait for everyone else to knock themselves unconscious.
Die and then just walk.
That would be you and me, Tyler, right? We'd wait till everyone else was twitching and fucking casually stroll down the hill and collect our cheese.
Stepping over some torn ACLs.
Pardon me.
So anyway, I wanted to shine the spotlight on the snow roach of the week, Chris Anderson. 23-time Jubilee cheese rolling contest champion in Gloucester, UK. John,
snow roach of the week brought to you by Jergens Cocoa Butter. Sell it.
John, I love the idea of you stepping over someone, teeth all over the ground, and you look at the cheese like, this? Oh, you'll be eating through a straw. You couldn't even enjoy this. You just pick up the cheese like, what the fuck? Brother, people get fucked up doing this sport. I've seen the videos.
Yeah, it's like you know, the chasing the bulls thing, or the running of the bulls or whatever. So I just don't have that gene or part of my brain. Why? Like, I just don't understand. Especially, like, he doesn't even like the cheese.
He's
trying to explain to his mom at 18 why he tore his calf off his fucking femur. And he's like, well, at least I got this cheese. But he's just doing it for the fame and the glory of being the cheese rolling champion.
He's a cheese thought. I thought for cheese.
LeBron James said he wants to go on a podcast soon. I suggest he comes on. Jenkins and Jones are out of pocket. We'd love to have you, LeBron. If we cannot get LeBron, I would love to get Chris Anderson and explore his rationale for what's behind the hunt for the cheese. You know, what's motivating him?
I bet it's not even like, I bet it's nothing. I bet it's just like, this is just what I do.
He's hit his head so many times, he's forgotten that he's won it. And he just keeps showing up. This is the year I finally win. It's like, no, you've won every year. He's like, have I? You know, like.
All right, y'all. That's all the time we got for today. Next game will be on Wednesday night. We will have a Jenkins and Jones episode that day. Obviously, Buckets will have all kinds of great Bucketsy out-of-pocket coverage going as well. So we'll see y'all then.
There's a lot of bags getting distributed. Get these bags, gentlemen.
Bye.